and young adults that aren't married yet, and that's okay. God has a plan for each and every one of you, and you don't have to fit into a peg here at Bethel. Amen. Now let's remember that we don't force people into pegs at Bethel. All right? Just because somebody chooses to do things a little different than what we're used to doesn't mean that we try to force them into a peg. If they're saved and they're in the position of Jesus Christ can use them just as good as anyone else. Amen? Amen. So you that aren't married yet, you're still a vital, important part of Bethel Baptist Church. And I want to make that very plain and very forthright. But one day a year we come together to celebrate mothers. This morning I'll be preaching a message. This afternoon I've asked some ladies to give testimonies about their moms. Most of those moms are here today, so we're looking forward to that time of testimony. And then on Father's Day, I might just ask all the men to give testimony of their fathers. So, I don't know. Sometimes I have crazy ideas. I have all girls today. Father's Day, I'm going to try to have all men. And they ask me sometimes why I do that. And I say, I don't know. I have crazy ideas. It's okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I feel very weak. This morning, I feel like I need an extended amount of grace. God, if you're going to do anything with this service, it's going to be because your grace is sufficient. And you will get all the praise and glory. I know that this last couple weeks have not been the best for me spiritually, but I know that you are a forgiving God. And because of my position, you long to use each and every one of the Christians in here today. God, we just want our joy of our salvation restored. We want to be uplifted by your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we want to look at a portrait of a praying mother. So, prayer through problems. Praying mothers pray through problems. 1 Samuel 1, 1 through 7. Now, there was a certain man of Ramoth Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zopha, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. That's his first problem. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other is Peninnah. Now, very quickly, when God created Adam, he did not create Eve and Yvette. It is according to God's plan that you marry one person for life, until death do you part. That is God's plan. And God wants you to stay married through difficult times. And we're not going to get into an argument of when there is allowance for divorce and that kind of stuff. That's not the purpose of the teaching today. But what is a purpose of the teaching today is to say that people that marry more than one wife cause problems. And here's what the problem we're about to see. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of the host in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, or a double portion is what it means. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. We see from Scripture that the recording of the historical account of Elkanah, the account gives us an insight into the man's family life. He was married to two ladies, one Hannah and the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah was childless. And I see some very interesting points from this historical account about problems. What type of people do problems come to? First, I see there are some problems so deep that not even a privileged position can heal. Not even a privileged position can heal some problems. We see from verse 4 and 5, as we look at that, it opens us to insight about Elkanah's relationship with his wives. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave Penaiah his wife and all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So we see that there was festive feast times during the Jewish holidays. Families would bring offerings and sacrifice to give to the Lord and also to celebrate with their families. There's three main ones. You can look at Deuteronomy 12, 5 through 7. If you want to, you can come and get these verses from me later. Deuteronomy 12, 17 through 18. Deuteronomy 16 through 11. What you see is that there is portions that are given to families to rejoice in that they were in a position that God was their Savior, that God was their Father, and that they lived in this privileged position with the God of their fathers, and that He was worthy to be worshiped and even to be celebrated at times of feast. Now, this lady had a very privileged position because we see that a worthy or a double portion was given to her by her husband because he loved her very much. Elkanah obviously didn't listen to scripture and he played favoritisms. And the favorites that he had was of his wife. Man, he had care and privilege and put her in a place of honor. But let me say that privileged place didn't exclude her from problems. And the problems that she was experiencing was that her womb was closed. Now, in this culture, that was a very bad thing because we understand if you had a son and if that son came to you, that could mean that you may be in the promised possession and promised a privilege of understanding that God would use his blessings through his sons. We understand that a lady to be childless was very shameful in this culture. So she felt the shame even past the privileged position that she held with her wife, her husband. I also not only see the need to pray through times of problems, but I see a need to pray through the times of persecution. 1 Samuel 1, 6 through 7. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. The adversary means a rival. It references a person who is threatening or a source of despair for various reasons. From the context of Scripture, we assume that the adversary is Penaiah, Elkanah's other wife. Elkanah's, even every time they were to go up to praise the Lord, Penaiah would attack and make the joyful time a time of great grieving. There's a secondary principle. Let that never be said in the Church of God at Bethel Baptist Church, that we allow ourselves to come to church and pick apart someone else. So the time that we should be praising the Lord, the time that we should be glorifying the Lord, the time that we should come together in celebration, we're causing, are you listening to me? We're causing pain and sorrow in others' lives. It's not good. But let me say this. Neither is it possible for every day of your life not to experience this at times. There will be times that you come to church with a mind to praise and a mind to be joyful, but pain will be caused. Maybe by words. Maybe by the slight of words from another person that is meant to bring you joy and is meant to bring you satisfaction, but does not. I don't know why we like to tear down other people. I don't know why sometimes we're tempted in the flesh to degrade other people to lift ourselves up. I am guilty of that at times. You are guilty of that at times. What should we do about that? That's not the time or place. It's never the time or place for a Christian to act that way. But especially not when we're going to celebrate God's death and resurrection. This should be a time of great praise. This should be a time of great fellowship. This should be a time where we get away from the world, where we get away from the sorrows of the world, where we get away from the pressures of the world, and we build each other up. Oh, for men and women to build each other up instead of tearing each other down with their words. The text says in verse 6, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Fret means to irritate, to trouble. It refers to agitating, picking on persons, possibly making fun of them or mocking them. The time of festivity and celebration was turned into a time of sorrow and weeping and heartache, to the place where Hannah would weep and refuse to eat. Wow. Does this lady have some problems despite her privileged position? Even in her privileged position, does she not sometimes receive persecutions from others? Mothers, those that are married and haven't had children yet, understand that sometimes people will say hurtful things to you. Hurtful things that will cause you to want to lash out in flesh instead of cry out in praise to the Lord. What should you do at this time? Well, let's look through it. Pray through pain. Why is this a portrait of a godly mother's prayer? And we'll get into why she becomes a mother. Well, she's a lady that not only prayed through problems, not only prayed through persecutions, but she prayed through pain. Moms, there's going to be times that God calls you to pray through pain in your life. There's going to be some disappointments in life that God's going to call you to pray through. Let's see the attitude and character of this godly lady, Hannah, to see how she navigated her way through prayer in pain. Verse 8, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I better to thee than 10 sons? Now, I don't want to disrespect Elkanah here. He was very loving to his wife, Hannah. Although he was married to another, which caused great stress on Hannah and also on Peninnah. He probably was looking at himself saying, what else can I do? I give her a double portion. I show great preference to her, and she is crying over the one thing I can't give her, a child. If you've been married long enough, you're going to understand there's some mothers, there's some things that your spouse, your husband, can't give you. There's some things in our families that I can't provide. I can't provide true peace to my wife. Only God can provide that. She can't provide true peace to me. Only God can provide that. Now, she can make me happy. She can fill me with joy. She can stroke my ego. And wives, it's important to stroke your husband's egos at times. All right. But there are things that my wife cannot give me. The true peace and joy of God. And you're frustrated at times. I thought you were supposed to go along with me. I thought that life was supposed to be about me and you living through problems. And there's times that I'm in pain and my spouse doesn't understand the pain. Look at the last phrase of verse 8. And you can hear the frustration in this husband's voice. Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? All right, if I'm reading and I'm thinking like a normal man, this man's ego has been hit, right? Men, am I the only one in here with an ego? All right. You're looking at me like, oh, pastor, you haven't. Yeah, men, do you like to know that your wife wants something more than anything else and you can't provide it for? That's fun for men, right? You love your wife and she wants something and you give her everything that you can, but you can't provide this one thing for her. Now, praise the Lord, I don't have a wife that really complains about this type of stuff, and I'm not saying that Hannah was complaining. He's seeing his wife in pain, and what is he doing? He's misunderstanding. He's hurt. Here you are, grieving and refusing to eat. Am I not good enough? Now, I don't want to miss this point that we see in verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. She didn't sulk and refuse to eat and get more frustrated because her husband misunderstood, No, she ate and drank with him and didn't complain. Okay, moms, if you're going to be a godly mom and your spouse misunderstands you and says things that you don't understand, how can he not get, ladies, how can he not get this? Right? Now, ladies, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Huh? Is he stuck on crazy? Why doesn't he understand this? Because he wasn't meant to. There's some things that only God can help you with. Now, husbands, remember this. This is a fun verse that the women's libs like so much. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. So what is this saying? On the whole, God has made, on the whole, okay, you might be in a relationship that it's opposite, but on the whole, God has made ladies with more nurturing natures. All right? And ladies, because of that, are kinder. They're weaker. They're more in weaker, not in a negative way, but weaker in a more empathetic way. Right? They feel the pain of others more acutely than a man does. All right? When they hear their baby cry, it's not like they're thinking in the back of their head, just be quiet, baby. No, they pick them up. They coddle them. Dads look at them like, shut that thing up, please. But moms don't feel that way, do they? Moms, on the whole, nurture and give life and feel acutely the pain of others much more than we men do. Okay? God's going to have to help you. On the whole, God's going to have to help you through some of that. Okay? Your husband wasn't made like you. He's not going to understand some of those pains and problems. What are you going to have to do? You're going to have to pray through the pain sometimes. You're going to have to ask God to help you through misunderstandings within your family. Not only do I say through pain, the pain of an ignorant father, but I also see the prayer of pain through an ignorant priest. A priest's position, 1 Samuel 1:9. Now, Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. Notice, seat comes from the Hebrew word kiseth. The meaning of the word is throne, a place of honor. But the post of the temple means a featured place of the temple. What does this mean? Here's a man that was by God supposed to represent God to the people. Right? And he was given a place of honor. If anybody should understand the pain of the people, it should be the priest, right? I mean, the partner might fail you, but the priest, surely he'll understand the pain of people, won't he? Well, let's look and see what the Bible says. The parishioner's prayer. Notice, first of all, her psychological state in verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 1. And she was in bitterness of soul. She was deeply troubled in her inner being. There were deep wounds and hurts that have left her wounded and deeply scarred her thinking. Notice second, it was poured out unto the Lord, prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. The prayer was not some polite sniffle, but rather it was an ugly cry. It was intense and raw. She wept sore. Moms, in a unique way, feel the pain of their families in this unique ways that causes them to weep on the whole and weep through the pain of her problems, through the pain of her children's problems, through the pain of her family's problems. Here's a portrait of a lady that is weeping unto the Lord because of the deep hurts within her life. In anguish, in pain, and psychological tribulation because of the shame that was upon her because she didn't have a son. Third, it was a promise-filled prayer. So the parishioner's prayer was a psychological stated type of prayer. She was pouring out unto the Lord Third, it was a promise-filled prayer, 1 Samuel 1:11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord in the days, all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She asked God to pity her, to give her a child, and then she would surrender that child back to the Lord as a peculiar servant unto God. This, in the heart of Hannah, was about praising the Lord. It wasn't just about her pain, although her pain came in. It was about the opportunity to praise the Lord through a child that she would give back to him. Let's see. The priest's position, the parishioner's prayer, the priest's perception. Notice first to where he paid attention. He marked her mouth. 1 Samuel 1:12 through 13. Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah spoke. She spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. You know what? Sometimes priests, sometimes people in places of leadership within the church, sometimes a team of pastors need to take and get each other together with the gifts that they have to find out what's happening past the speech. Do you understand what I mean by that? If you just judge a person by what comes out of your mouth instead of what's in their heart, you can make mistakes, can't you? And mothers, let me encourage you with something. Your kids will not always be polite and say the right things to you. Amen, mothers? Sometimes they're going to say hurtful things. Your goal is to reach their hearts. And if you lose your temper because you're hurt by what they say, you can lose their hearts. Here's a lady under great distress whose mouth is moving but no words are coming out. Why? Because it's an inner turmoil that she's going through. We can't see the inner turmoil that we pray for wisdom about. What are our children going through? Why are they acting out in this way? Why is it coming up in this way that they're going through certain problems? We listen to their speech sometimes and we judge them just by what they say. But then as a mom, especially, and sometimes a dad, lovingly tears past those peels. You know what I'm saying? Like an onion, and you peel back. You can start seeing the heart. You can start seeing why the pain is being said like that. If all we do is tell our children to be quiet, and they can't say a word to us, and they don't have any time to have an outlet. Are you listening, mothers? Have an outlet to their parents. They will find an outlet somewhere else. And if you react in the flesh, now, am I saying don't discipline? Obviously discipline. But if your children come to you and they're going through something and they try to talk to you and the first thing you do is tear them down, they're going to talk to somebody else. And it's probably not somebody that you really want them talking to. Amen? I wanted to ask my parents a lot of questions growing up. But we lived in a time and period where children were supposed to be seen, not heard. Oh, I got some advice from other people. Trust me. People that if my parents would have heard the advice they were giving me, they would have been red-faced and ashamed. Parents, you have to allow your children to respectfully vent to you so you can peel back and have God give you wisdom at the problem. What's this priest's problem? He just sees the mouth. He doesn't understand the pain of the heart. And what does that make him think? It makes him think she's drunk. It makes him think that she is drinking. And I love her response to him. The priest's promise, first, to what and whom it pointed. So what happens? He comes to him. He accuses her of being drunk. She's crying out. She's weeping. Her mouth is moving, but no sounds of prayer are coming out. And there's probably tears, and there's probably in when pain takes over, when problems take over and you're crying out to the Lord, you don't always have control about what your body is going to do in your prayer life, right? That's why it's good to pray privately at times. You don't always have control over crying when there's problems in prayer. You don't always have control over demeanors in prayer. Sometimes you're so broken and poured out, and you see the problems in your life and the problems in your family's life, that it becomes a crying out to the Lord. So here he is marking her mouth. 1 Samuel 1:13. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Noah stirred his ignorant proclamation in 1 Samuel 1:14-16. And Eli said to her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for the daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. So I find this very interesting. This is a side note. Let's be careful about what we accuse other people of. He didn't try to even talk to her or even ask her or speak to her. He just rebuked her right away. He didn't even try to get the full story. Just a rebuke. That's not wise. For the priest promised first to what and whom it pointed. 1 Samuel 1:17. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace." 1 Samuel 1:17. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Second to what it produced. And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Isn't that good? Here she's received the promise. She's prayed through a problem, and she's got an answer that she has peace about. She's been given peace by God, and now she can truly go out with a spirit that has been comforted through prayer. Prayers for revision produced praise. 1 Samuel 1:19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord. The praise is reverence of God's position. Divine presence, 1 Samuel 1:19 through 20. In return, and came to the house to Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah was conceived, that she bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I've asked him of the Lord." Samuel means heard of God. Divine purpose, 1 Samuel 1:21 through 28. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." And Elkanah her husband said unto her, "Do what seems thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until he was weaned, and she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took up with her 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And he said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition when I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Wow, isn't that amazing? God answered her prayer, which produced praise, which produced divine presence, which produced a divine purpose. What did she do? As a good mom, she gave back to the Lord what he had given to her. Stay consistent in your prayers of praise. Stay consistent, mothers, in your prayers of praise. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, we read Hannah's praise song. Now, William MacDonald gives us insight into the background of the prayer. The devout giftedness of Elkanah's wife and son stands out against the depravity of Eli's family. After giving her son to the Lord, Hannah poured out her heart in thanksgiving. Her words revealed an in-depth knowledge of God, his character, and his deeds. The prayer seems to rebuke Peninnah for the many spiteful things she had said to Hannah, but it is prophetically goes beyond this domestic squabble to the triumph of Israel over her foes and to the eventual reign of Christ. If you have time, you can look at 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10, and then you can look at Luke 1, 46 through 55. That's Mary's song, often called the Magnificat. And there is Mary is obviously influenced by her knowledge of Hannah's song. There's a lot of comparing. There's a lot of things that are the same in those two prayers and praises. So you can look at that later. So, praise is confidence. Praise is confidence. Moms, here's a praise. And when you praise the Lord, you have confidence. 1 Samuel 2, 1. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoiced in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. We can have confidence in the place of praise. It is in the inner man. We understand that the heart means an aspect of the immaterial inner self, or being since the heart is considered to be the seat of one's inner nature as well as one of its components. So where was this praise prayer coming from? The heart. It wasn't some fleshly production. Moms, when God answers your prayers, moms, when you see the hand of God, how much does your inner spirit praise him? Dads, same for you. We see the hand of God and we want to take credit instead of praising him for who he is. We can have confidence in the person of praise. 1 Samuel 2:1. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord and inner joy through the Lord. We can have confidence in the promotion of our prayers. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My strength is lifted up in the Lord. We have confidence in the prosperity of our praise. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. I just gobble them up. Because I rejoiced in thy salvation. So contextually, we understand that Hannah is speaking of Peninnah, her adversary. However, prophetically, we know that our enemy is Satan. And because of God's deliverance through his help and deliverance, that we are more than conquerors over Satan because of what God has done for us. That should excite us. Man, there's a lot of trash in this world going on right now that I have probably let influence me. No, I have let influence me more than I should have. And when you do that, you lose the joy of your salvation. Do you understand that? You get depressed. You get mean. I gotta say, I've been a little mean lately. You get snappy at your family. You get snappy at other people. You don't guard your mouth like you should. Has anybody ever been there? Well, you get cutting with your words. God doesn't want us to live that life. Moms, God doesn't want us snapping at our children. I know those little angels, sometimes it may feel like they've fallen, right? Right? But God wants us to be full of praise. Man, it's really hard to preach something when I know I have a place of leadership, but I've always been open as a leader, okay? It's really hard to preach something when you haven't practiced it. So, my family, please forgive me, but it's true. Whether we practice it or not, this should be our goal to practice it. There's not much praise. How many of you have felt like a lot of praise lately? 2 weeks ago? Did you feel like praising 2 weeks ago? 2 Mondays ago? I didn't feel like much praising, okay? But we have a God that is an awesome God. We have a God that allows things into our lives and problems and persecutions in our life to drive us to Him so that we can have union and understand Him better. And if we're not careful, when we let problems and persecution drive us to what? Flesh. And we start to depend on ourselves and the cuttingness of our words. Moms, have you been there? Especially as your kids get older. What is the joke? You reach 12 and then it's stupid, 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 20. Right? That's the joke. Man, kids can have smart mouths at those ages. Praise through it. Praise through it. Discipline. Don't allow it, but praise through it. You've been given the privilege of being a mom. And as long as you praise through it, God will exalt you. Not might be the way that you think He should exalt you, but He will exalt you. He will exalt you in your children's life to the point where they'll cry out honor and blessing and praise to you in the city's gates, as Proverbs tells us. They won't forget. They won't forget the teaching that they learned from a godly mother. Moms, are you encouraged? I meant for this to be encouraging to you. I hope you're encouraged by this. Praise through the problems. Have confidence in prosperity of our praise. Man, your praise is what's going to defeat your problem. Your praise is what's going to remind you of your salvation and the character of God that can help you teach this kid after they haven't done something you've told them to do 1,250 times. When will they ever learn? Praise the Lord, I get the opportunity to teach. Praise the Lord, I get the opportunity to show the long-suffering and the fruit of the Spirit that God has given me. Praise has no room for conceit. 1 Samuel 2, 3-8. Talk no more, so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. And they that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth out the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. Praise calls out the conversation of the conceited, filled with self-promotion. You know, I'm the best mom ever. Look at, let me put in my blog how great a mom I am. If you have a blog, shout about how great your God is. Yeah, I know. When my kids did this, I reacted this way, and that's how I got them to do what I wanted them to do. Be quiet and praise the Lord. It's filled with self-promotion, filled with unwarranted pride. It's because of my hard work. If our kids make it, it's because of the grace of God. Amen? If our kids grow up and serve the Lord, God gets all the praise because I don't care how good you think we are, you are, you mess up a lot. I don't care how perfect everybody else thinks you are. We know behind closed doors we mess up and we need God to be the God of our salvation and to give us strength and to help us conquer our flesh. Psalm 94:4 says, how long shall they utter the speak So they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves. Hard things and arrogance is translated from the same Hebrew word. Notice the command to cease. Stop speaking pridefully. Don't let it come out of your mouth. And you know how you, out of the issues of the heart, the what speaketh? The mouth speaketh? So if you don't want prideful things to come out of your mouth, what do you need to fix first? Your inner man. You need to give in to the Christ life. You need to give in to your salvation and what it has made for you. The position that Christ has given you. Notice, praise acknowledges the comprehension of God. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. His comprehension is comprehensive. For the Lord is the God of knowledge. He knows things. He knows all. His comprehensive knowledge critiques man's condition, and by him actions are weighed. Ooh. Ooh. Man, we need to stop multiple times during the day and cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And if we don't do that, what's going to start happening is we're going to, personal experience, okay? We're going to start acting according to the flesh. Notice the praise identifies the care of the Heavenly Father. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. Praise thanks God for his care for us over competitors. The bows of the mighty men are broken. Praise shows its confidence in God's care for the weak. 1 Samuel 2:4. And they that stumble are girded up with strength. For the wanting, just remember there is both personal, this is both personal and prophetical. What does that mean? That means that personally she has an enemy that's hitting her about not having children, and God gave her children. Who is our enemy? Satan. And is Satan just satisfied to leave you alone because you're in the family of God now? Oh, no, no. You that are homeschool moms, how many, well, even you that are moms that have a career, go out into work and you're trying to balance career and family, okay? How many times does God attack you? The devil attack you. Try to get you to get into the flesh instead of depending on the Christ life that's been given to you at salvation. Prosperity. 1 Samuel 2:5. Full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. Oh, isn't that good? You think you were full? And God showed you how wanting you are, how much you need him. And then when you realize you needed him, moms, what did he do to you? He filled you with his prosperity. He filled you with his spiritual meat. He filled you with the Christ life. And it helped you what? Conquer. It helped you trust in the salvation of your Lord. Progeny. 1 Samuel 2:5, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. Waxed feeble, the word describes the languish of a fertile woman with whom God hath dealt harshly. Okay, so here's Hannah. She wasn't blessed. God shut her womb. She cried out to the Lord. She had a major problem. She was misunderstood by her partner. She was misunderstood by the priest. But God answered her prayer. And when God answered her prayer, her praise broke forth to him, and she got all the glory. And when she was feeble, because she didn't have children, and Peninnah thought she was so strong, God came and weakened Peninnah through the results that happened in her children because of her pride. That's basically what I read from this praise. I can't say that for sure because the Bible doesn't say. But what am I trying to say? There's a lot of people that brag about their fertility and say how many children they have, but they stop trusting in the Lord, and all the children that they have bring great pain because they don't give their lives to the Lord. Does everybody understand? Okay? And then those that have waited for years and have had multiple times where they've lost children or they haven't become pregnant. Sometimes God gives them children. And what happens? Oh, that children brings joy. That child brings joy and satisfaction because it was God that brought it to them. Hey, families that have a lot of kids can experience the same things if they trust the Lord. Amen? Amen. I'm not here to hurt anybody. If you have a lot of kids, blessed is the man whose quiver is full. Amen? But raise them for the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Notice praise of a providential position over life. 1 Samuel 2:6. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Over prosperity. 1 Samuel 2:7. The Lord maketh poor and he maketh rich. Notice praise for God's preservation. 1 Samuel 2:9 and 10. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in the darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversary of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. God is on guard for his people. He will keep the feet of his saints. Hey, God's on guard for you, mother. If you're his child, he's there on guard for you. My husband isn't everything he should be, but your God is. So why are you so quick to complain to your husband instead of going to God and praising him? Why are you so quick to try to change the heart of your husband instead of going through the one that can provide true salvation and can provide true protection and casting your cares before him? Because he cares for you. I know what I'll do. I'll use my womanly charm and the love that my husband has for me to get my way. Come on. Women, don't say you're not tempted with that sometimes. And the man says, I'm going to use my strength and my position of authority to get my way. What happened to God? What happened to prayer? This is convicting me a little bit too much. God will keep your feet. By the way, not some politician, not some political party. God will get me, kids, remind me when I'm at home and complaining about all the old people. Get me for this. You have permission. All right? We don't need elbows up, we need hands up. Praise God that he is the punisher of the wicked. The wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Praise God, the wicked can prevail, for by strength shall no man prevail. Praise God that the wicked cannot prevail. Why? Because their strength will cease one day. His strength will never cease. The Lord will break the wicked in pieces. The Lord judges, and he's in a superior position of any earthly king. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord will be complete in his judgment. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king. Who's his king? Jesus is his king. And one day Jesus will rule and reign on this earth, and we will praise him throughout all eternity because we're his children. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his kings and exalt the horn of his anointed. Here's a lady who has union with her heavenly father and has been brought through a problem and has been misunderstood by people, but is shouting forth praise because God answered her prayer and God took care of her. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that we could have in this first service to praise you. God, we love and thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for the moms that have given themselves to prayer. We thank you for the moms that haven't depended on themselves but have depended on you. God, bless our time of fellowship afterwards, and bless the ladies that have been asked to give testimonies about their mom and thanking them. In Jesus' name, amen.